Welcome back, listeners. I hope you didn't miss me too much. I took a little vacation. I went to the island of Jamaica. And while I was in Jamaica, Amazon decided to partner with JP Morgan and create their own healthcare colloquium. Since Amazon provided no details, and I literally spent an entire episode, SourceCast 104, on Amazon, I'm taking a pass. So you may be wondering, what am I going to talk about? I'm going to dedicate this episode to the island of Jamaica. There seems to be a lot of misconceptions about Jamaica and Jamaicans, and I kind of needed a break from my tea stuff. So this week, we're talking about Jamaica. I'm Joey Lombardi, and this is SourceCast episode 105. For the last few years, I've taken my family to a specific portion of the island, St. Anne's Parish. I believe Ocho Rio is one of the major destinations in St. Anne's Parish, but we don't stay there. On our way every year, we pass the area where Christopher Columbus landed in Jamaica in 1494. At the time, Jamaica was inhabited by two indigenous people, the Arawak and the Tiano. Obviously, since Columbus showed up, and I'm sure people have a lot of negative feelings about Columbus, he quote-unquote discovered the island, he put it under Spanish rule, and like many indigenous people that encounter Christopher Columbus, many of the people died from diseases. And that is when the Spanish started transplanting African slaves to the island of Jamaica, which, by the way, was not Jamaica at the time, it was called Santiago. And the Spanish controlled the island through 1655, when the English took it over, because they wanted all that sweet sugar, and they also renamed the island Jamaica at the time. The sad part is the original people of Jamaica, the Arawak and Tiano, the Jamaicans don't have a lot of information or artifacts about their original peoples, and they're investing a lot of time and energy in trying to find anything that they can to understand the indigenous people of the island. But enough about history, let's flash forward to today. This is a strategic sourcing podcast, so what do I want to know about Jamaica? I want to know what they export, and I want to know what the major companies are. The major sectors of the Jamaican economy are agriculture, mining, manufacturing, and tourism. And they also dabble in financial and insurance services. Half of the Jamaican economy relies on tourism. From a mining perspective, Jamaica's biggest export is aluminum oxide. They also refine petroleum, they make aluminum ore, they export hard liquor, and cassava. Cassava is like a $31 million a year thing for them. Since aluminum oxide is such a major part of the Jamaican economy, I'm certainly wondering what it's used for. So most of the aluminum oxide that's produced, about 90% of it, is consumed for the production of standard aluminum. Because aluminum oxide is fairly chemically inert and it's white, it's favored for a filler for plastics. Aluminum oxide is a common ingredient for sunscreen, which is obviously very important in Jamaica, and is sometimes used in cosmetics such as blush, lipstick, and nail polish. Aluminum oxide is used for making glass, and it's also widely used to remove water from gas streams. So there's a lot of practical uses for aluminum oxide, and Jamaica produces a lot of it. The top export destinations for Jamaica are the United States, Canada, the Netherlands, Russia, and the UK. Like most countries, the recession from 2006 to 2010 had a major impact on the Jamaican economy, but one of the things that's been helping Jamaica pull out of the recession is their partnership with China. In April of 2014, the governments of Jamaica and China signed a preliminary agreement for the first phase of the Jamaican Logistics Hub, and that's an initiative that aims to position Kingston as the fourth node in the global logistics chain, joining Rotterdam, Dubai, and Singapore. When the project is completed, it is expected to provide many jobs for the Jamaicans, economic zones for multinational companies, and much-needed economic growth to alleviate the country's heavy debt-to-GDP ratio. Since we've been traveling to Jamaica for the last 4 years, we have friends in the country, and I often make it a point to have conversations about their economy and their society, which I actually get a lot of grief from my friends and family who travel with me. But I'm curious, and our friends are super nice, and they want to have these conversations. They always ask me about America. I remember seeing a news broadcast about China's growing influence in Jamaica, And I was asking some of our friends over there, and they were very happy about the Chinese influence because they're bringing jobs, but also the Chinese are investing in infrastructure. They're building roads in Jamaica, which is a big deal. I remember going to Jamaica 15 years ago, and the roads weren't all connected. And there were major portions, even going to Ocho Rio, that you had to drive on dirt roads. That's not the case now. From Montego Bay, straight up through Ocho Rio, St. Anne's, there's a connected road. On our drive to the airport, I was thinking about it. On the one hand, it's very good that Jamaica is getting investment in infrastructure. It's going to help the country grow. It's going to help people connect to the ports and get jobs. On the other hand, why is it that it's taken this long for the country to have paved roads that's connecting to the more remote areas? During research for this podcast, I saw an article that a majority of Jamaicans feel they should have remained under British rule and that the country's independence ultimately was a bad thing for the people of Jamaica. And that sounds harsh, but when you think about it, the people of Scotland recently voted to remain parts of the United Kingdom. They had an opportunity for independence, and they chose to stay. The concepts of independence is romantic, but there's something about the sure steadiness of infrastructure and roads. When you really need to get somewhere and you can't, maybe imperialism isn't so bad. I'm kidding. As I mentioned earlier, one of the other things that I wanted to understand were major companies in Jamaica and what they did, what they produced. And according to a list that I found, Grace Kennedy Limited is the number one company in Jamaica. The National Commercial Bank of Jamaica is number two. Sagicor Group Jamaica Limited, number three. Scotia Group Jamaica Limited, number four. And Supreme Ventures Limited is number five. These companies are not very descriptive with their names, so I decided to do a little bit more research on Grace Kennedy, and this is what I found.
In February 1922, Grace Kennedy & Company Limited was born in the heart of capital city Kingston in Jamaica. The company, which started as small traders and wharf operators, now has some 50 subsidiaries and associated companies in Jamaica, the Caribbean, Central America, the United States and Canada, the United Kingdom, Europe, and Africa. Our company's offerings span the areas of food and financial services, including banking and finance, remittance, insurance and investment, along with some involvement in retailing. There are five food factories that fall under the Grace Kennedy Group umbrella in Jamaica, making the company one of the largest manufacturers and exporters. The company also has food manufacturing arms in the United Kingdom and the United States of America.
Be honest, now that you listen to that clip, doesn't it sound kind of fake? It's like, hello, we are a large multi-industry corporation based in Jamaica. Not only do we service fruits and other food products, in addition, we also are involved in banking, telemarketing, communications, insurance, etc., etc., etc. I'm not knocking the company, but they do a lot of stuff. But you know one thing that they don't do? They don't sell marijuana. Because I must have had this conversation 50 times. Marijuana is not legal in Jamaica. Let me repeat that. Marijuana is not legal in Jamaica. Most people, when I have that conversation with them, they do not believe me. In 2015, marijuana was decriminalized. Under the new rules in 2015, trafficking and possession of marijuana was still illegal, but possession of less than 2 ounces is considered a petty offense that does not go on one's permanent criminal record. Citizens are also permitted to cultivate cannabis in their homes, so long as they do not keep more than 5 plants. So marijuana is not a major export for Jamaica. It is not legal should you choose to buy it when you get to the island. On a related topic, many people assume that Rastafarianism is the dominant religion of Jamaica. Not true. Jamaica has a population of 2.7 million people. Of those 2.7 million people, there are only 24,000 registered Rastafarians. I hope you found this podcast informative. I certainly wanted to understand a little bit more about this country that I visit so often and is so gracious to my family and friends. I know there was a lot of scary information in the news about some of the things that are going on in Montego Bay right now. I have to say that we felt very safe arriving into the country in Montego Bay, driving along the roads. So we had a wonderful time as always, and I'm really looking forward to see how the country grows over the next few years and to also see China's growing influence on the country. It's going to be very interesting.
And that's all we have for this week. You can follow Sourcecast on iTunes, Google Music, and all of your favorite podcasting applications. Sourcecast is recorded in bucolic Mandarin, New Jersey, and it's produced by my dad. The outro is performed by me, Ben Lombardi, and music is provided by Patrick Lee. Thanks for listening, and we'll be back next week.